Let us join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of the scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. Join together to sing, now thank we all our God.
We join to sing, now thank we all our God.
Join together to pray. Let us pray. Lord of yesterday, tomorrow, and today, we are children of the world you love and care for. We praise you, Heavenly God, for calling us into relationship with you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for the power of your name and the protection of your prayers. We praise you, Holy Spirit, for your guidance and gifts that enable us to draw others to you. For you are faithful in times of uncertainty, strong when we are weak, and the breath of all our being. Forgive us, gracious God, when we have turned away, immersed ourselves in distractions. Forgive us when we have sought to fit in and compromised your truth in us. Forgive us when we have wasted so much energy bickering among ourselves and not shown the world that we are one. Forgive us when we have distanced ourselves from those we are called to serve. Forgive us. Protect us. Unite us. And the Lord Jesus says to each of us, we are loved and we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sally, would you like to lead us, please?
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Hi. Just got a little quiz for you today. Well, I say quiz, it's more of a survey. I'm going to call it as a survey, and I'm going to give you some options. And I just want a simple raise of the hand. And it's about it's about prayer, and it's about preferences, spiritual preferences in prayer. If we were in a worship space, I could get you to move from one side of the room to the other, but that's not going to be possible today, sadly. But one day, maybe I'll just repeat this talk. Or you could sway. Yeah, sway to the left, sway to the right. That's a good idea, actually. Let's do that. I've changed my mind. Right. So here are my questions. So thinking about prayer, do you prefer silent prayer or spoken prayer? So move to the left for the first option, silent prayer, to the right for spoken prayer, and of course, just stay in the middle. So anyone who's not taking part, I'm just going to assume that the answer is both, because you're just going to be sitting there, right? So there's some very funny, yeah, okay, good. Do you prefer praying on your own or with other people? So if you like praying on your own, go to the left. If you like praying with other people, go to the right. If you don't have a preference, stay where you are. This is making me feel quite seasick, actually, but we'll carry on. Okay, do you prefer saying prayers or singing prayers? A lot of prayers, because a lot of our songs that we sing are actually prayers, aren't they? And some Christians, they will sing their prayers in other denominations. I don't think the URC does particularly, but other denominations, they sing their prayers. So do you like saying them or singing them? So saying them? Singing them? Okay. Rachel and James are almost falling over, like... They're going to lose their balance. Do you like saying prayers from a book or on screen or making up your own? Bit of both. Okay. Do you like sitting, kneeling, or standing? Who, hands up, actually, it's easier to tell. Who prefers sitting? Standing? Anyone for standing? I'm going to go on to a different page. Anyone for standing? Oh, yeah, there is. Richard, you're on your own, I think. kneeling. Put your hands up if you like kneeling. I quite like kneeling to pray, actually. I do. Right. Who likes praying? Do you like praying with or without actions? I'm not talking about action songs. I'm talking about prayers. So who likes praying with actions? So using your hands and movements. Jack looks like he's doing it now. He is, yes. Who likes just, you know, being still and not really? Yes, most people. Okay. Where is your holy place? Do you prefer being inside or outside? Who prefers being inside? And who prefers being outside? Oh, lots more hands for outside. Yeah, I'm learning a lot to do that. We've had to, haven't we, really? But it's lovely going out and praying as you go through a park or a garden. Which most inspires you spiritually? Beautiful worship or beautiful scenery? Tricky. That's a tricky one. What about, who's going to say beautiful worship? Okay, let me just see what people on the other pages are saying. Who thinks beautiful scenery inspires them more? Oh, it's about 50-50. Okay. And the last one, who prefers praying for people in need or being out there with them? So prayer as prayer, as we know it, or prayer as service, as in to pray is to act, to pray is to work. So who prefers praying for people? Who prefers going out there and doing stuff and getting mucky and getting it? Yeah, it's kind of like the difference. You've got the street pastors and the prayer pastors. Two different roles, both equally important. Okay, thank you for joining me with my survey. There are, as we know, many different ways to pray, and you could go through the Bible and you could probably find an example of each one, and we all have a different preference. And the reading today from John's Gospel is part of a prayer that Jesus prays for his friends shortly before his death. And I think prayer helps, it informs everything that we do and the people that we are. And one of the things that I'd like to challenge you to do this week, I think, well, two things actually. One is go through a gospel or the book of Acts and see how many different types of prayer you can find. And the other is to try a prayer style that isn't normally your own. It can be really, you can learn a lot about God and a lot about yourself in doing that. So I really want to encourage you to do it. And if you do it, I would be really encouraged if you came back to me and said, I tried something different this week. I liked it. I didn't like it. I learned something. I didn't learn something, whatever. But at the end of the day, God loves it when we pray. Doesn't matter how we pray. He just loves it when we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And you can keep going because you're reading next. So it's the Acts, the traitor Judas must be replaced. Two candidates are shortlisted. And this isn't, it's interesting. It's not a list of their skills or what was missing in the disciples. What do we need? No. They are on the shortlist because they have witnessed to the ministry of Jesus. And then it goes on a casting of lots. And then the reading from John, which Anne McFarlane will read to us, is the passage of Jesus' last words to his disciples at the supper before he is arrested. And he prays for those that he will shortly leave through his passion. Thank you.
Okay, so the first reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and then verses 21 to 26. A few days later, there was a meeting of the believers, about 120 in all, and Peter stood up to speak. "My friends," he said, "the scripture had to come true in which the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, made a prediction about Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was a member of our group, for he had been chosen to have a part in our work. So then, someone must join us as a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He must be one of the men who were in our group during the whole time that the Lord Jesus traveled about with us, beginning from the time John preached his message of baptism until the day Jesus was taken up from us to heaven." So they proposed two men: Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know the thoughts of everyone, so show us which of these two you have chosen to serve as an apostle in the place of Judas, who left to go to the place where he belongs." Then they drew lots to choose between the two men, and the one chosen was Matthias, who was added to the group of 11 apostles. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Anne, and our reading this morning, the second reading, is from John's Gospel, verses 6 to 19. "I have made you known to those you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me. They have obeyed your word. And now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. I gave them the message that you gave me, and they received it. They know that it is true that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those that you gave me, for they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and my glory is shown through them. And now I am coming to you. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Holy Father, keep them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, just as you and I are one. While I was with them, I kept them safe by the power of your name, the name you gave me. I protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the man who was bound to be lost, so that the scripture might come true. And now I am coming to you, and I say these things in the world, so that they might have my joy in their hearts in all its fullness. I gave them your message, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I do not ask you to keep them out of the world, but I do ask you to keep them safe from the evil one. Just as I do not belong to the world, they do not belong to the world. Dedicate them to yourself by means of the truth. Your word is truth. I sent them into the world just as you sent me into the world. And for their sake, I dedicate myself to you in order that they too may be truly dedicated to you."
Warmest greetings. My name is Leslie Chilton. I'm one of the ministers of at Kingston United Reformed Church. We're glad you found us. We'd be really interested in building up a relationship with you. Please get in touch. The sermon is based on two texts, Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, and then 21 to 26, and John 17, verses 6 to 19. The prayer in John 17 is a sort of any other business prayer, a summation. It's a prayer offered as we move towards the end of the earthly ministry of Jesus. It's a tapestry of links and threads bringing together God, Jesus, and the people following, connections, interweaving, threads, patterns, swirls. And through these threads flow love, care, mutuality. In our tradition, we don't keep Ascension Tide except vaguely and sloppily, she said, speaking for herself. But these passages are about Jesus leaving the disciples physically for the last time. In John, you get the long sermon before you go for the crucifixion, resurrection. And in Acts, this passage follows on from the story of the Ascension. It's a major danger in Christianity to think that our faith is following the man Jesus who died, who lived, who died. Jesus is not a figure in a book. For Christians, Jesus is a living presence. And for every Christian, the Christian life is about representing the risen Lord. We are shaped to live lives as witnesses. What did it mean for the early church that Jesus was leaving, that he wouldn't be physically present with them? We're used to it, they were not. What does it mean? What are they to do? Simple. They had to get to know and build their lives not around Jesus, but around the cosmic Christ. And what does that mean? Ah, there. You have the question. And the answer to that is a place of unity and a place of maturity. And what does it look like? Well, it looks like love. Not love that sends you a card if things aren't working out very well, but love that loves you even when you're covered in sick. Brennan Manning, who wrote the book The Ragamuffin Gospel, well worth a read, was a man who battled with alcohol all his life. He was a priest, he left his parish, and he slipped into an alcoholic sea. At one stage, he was living rough, sleeping on the streets, spending his days begging for money for alcohol. He was dirty, he was smelly. And every month, a friend would fly across the United States to come and see him. And as he caught sight of him, he would shout his name, he would grab him, he would kiss him, and then they would sit together in the gutter and talk. And that is what love looks like. That is how God loves me and God loves you. Completely, totally. Not in a fluffy, send a card, that'll fix it, but God, Creator, Son and Spirit, loves us totally, envelops us, wants the best for us. Not the easiest, but the best. The best for me, sadly, is not days spent in front of the telly watching Say Yes to the Dress, eating jelly sweets and drinking Prosecco. I wish it was, but it's not the best for me. And that's true physically, but it's true spiritually and it's true mentally as well. What is best for me is challenge and growth. What is best for me is the prayer that is answered no. Sometimes. That is what it looks like. We need it because the world, according to Jesus, is a dangerous place. Jesus prays for the disciples that they would be protected in the world. Yes, but isn't it true that this world was created by God? Isn't it a gift of God? Jesus came into the world that God's light might fully be seen and shown, but the world rejected it, rejected God's people, pushed down the poor, the women, and the oppressed. It's a dangerous world, so dangerous that Jesus asks God to protect his people. This world of death and violence hated Jesus and his people. This world of sin tortured Jesus and put him on a cross. And from this world of destitution, we need protection. We live in the world, but it feels like we don't belong because so many of the things that we value, things that give life, are constantly being destroyed. We do not belong to the world, but we do belong to the earth. It is dangerous to think that God doesn't love the earth, doesn't love all the peoples of the earth. Where the division is about sin. If we are Christians, then we believe in God and we believe in sin, the realities of both of them. A separation from the purposes of God, those things that are supposed to happen on the earth and the ways of God, that separation is sin. Love is the heart of the message of the gospel. Generosity is at the heart of God. Sometimes I find myself, it's a confession, brothers and sisters, I'm sure you know nothing of this, saying or thinking things that I know are judgmental and I know they are mean. And in that moment, I am in sin and God is not glorified by me. Generosity of attitude is at the heart of God. And we can afford to be generous because God has first been generous with us. We are secure enough to let love flow. We don't have to keep it like we were misers hoarding money. We can let love flow because of what God has done for us. There's a certain generosity of spirit in Acts that maybe we miss, choosing a new apostle. Instincts could have been, we've been hurt, we know each other, let's just get the wagons into a circle and nobody else is getting in. The apostle's saying it's us against the world. But no, the disciples, let down by Judas, increase the circle. They bring in Matthias, who falls off the edge of history from our point of view. So there must be something about the way that he comes in. Had to be somebody who had journeyed with Jesus, that is, on the earth. Must be somebody who witnessed the resurrection. The method might be a bit odd for us, but it was the normal way that things were done in the temple. Let's be honest, the disciples are still narrow in their vision. They are men of their culture. There's no non-Jews on that list, no women. It's about people like us. They've still got things to learn about the all-encompassing, generous love of God. But that they'll learn. And that's what the book of Acts is about. Sometimes some news is just too good to believe, to take in. I was talking to somebody this week who in the middle of the conversation said, I've got the message. It's simple. I just get it. What you have to do is love God and let God love you. And that's it. Yes, it is. That's it. But we spend our whole lives trying to earn God's favour, having a narrow definition of what love is, behaving like petulant children, know all children when things don't happen as we want them to happen. We need to be people to let the spirit of love flow. From the time of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been the dominant aspect of God for the early church and for us. The Holy Spirit is the source of our guidance, the shaping of our lives. The Spirit is the source of our day-to-day courage and our day-to-day power. For the early church, it was the courage to be able to stand up to those who had power, literally the power of life or death. The energy to keep up with their travelling and their journeys and their encounters. And that, brothers and sisters, is our story too. It is the Spirit that gives us the words when somebody asks us one of the big questions and we pause and we pray and God gives us words to respond. And for us, it might not be physically a threat of life and death, but it certainly is in some parts of the world. The Spirit leads us into exploring truth and learning more of God and the ways of God. It's not that we do it by our own will, by our own white knuckles and by our own determination. It is about letting the Spirit flow. Let the Spirit flow. And without the Spirit, our faith is merely a dusty, fossilized, bookish thing. Amen.
Let us be still together, and then Christine Thompson will lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Dear God, at the end of Christian Aid Week, we have learnt how the most vulnerable people of the world suffer as a result of the climate emergency. That emergency is caused mainly by the activities which have given us our standard of living. We pray that the voices of Indigenous communities may be heard and heeded as we learn how to live in harmony with nature. We pray for a rapid and just transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy. We pray for a radical change of heart for politicians. We pray that as a global community, we will care for our common home and for people living in poverty. So the right thing is done in the right way. Spirit of God, who hovered over the waters, harness your power in us to live faithfully and in harmony with the rhythms of righteousness, for the restoration of creation and the glory of your name. Amen. And we will pray silently for the situation in Israel, Palestine. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Well, what a shock. Greetings, Anna and Todd. Fabulous that you're with us. Hello, hello. A joint ministry team, Exeter, is it? Is it Exeter? You two work?
Salisbury.
Salisbury. I knew it was one of those Ponzi
I think Stonehenge.
Yeah. God bless you. Great, you're with us.
Nice to be here.
Great. I'm sure there are other people, but I apologise, I haven't spotted you. So it's warmest greetings. Thank you. Once we've had our notices, we'll be moving into our, I'll dedicate our offering, and then we'll move to our Holy Communion. So at this point, if you haven't got yourself some kit, go and grab yourself a biscuit and a bit of water, and it's great. Evening worship, 5 o'clock in the building today. But before we get there, there's a socially distanced nature walk today at 3 o'clock. Meet at Home Park. I'll send out the details when I send out the notices after this worship. The foyer coffee service will begin again on the 17th. We need some volunteers, please. Could you speak to Carol or to Liz Cook? Even if you only do once a month, everything helps. Podcast, I think this probably could be the last call. I'll get my act together and get it recorded this week. Tips, tricks, wisdom, spiritual insights, and things that you have learned during this season, please share them and then I'll record them. Just a reminder that articles for church news are now officially late. I apologise, Vaughan, for not reminding people. I'm really sorry for forgetting myself. Send them to Vaughan really quickly and he might just sneak them in the back page. Thank you very much, Vaughan. Sorry. We've got a bank holiday walk on the 31st of May, which Georgina graciously is leading for us. It starts at her home at 10 o'clock, that's 81 Westbury Road, or at 10:15 at New Malden Baptist Church. Please let Georgina know if you're going to be a part of it so she can book a table for lunch. Don't forget your mask. Thanks to Ray Charlton and team for the money raised Christian Aid Week this week. Getting close to 10,000 quid. And thank you to Richard and Ben for last night's quiz. It was a corker. Thank you. And this time, I know it's a pain in the neck this time. I get that completely. And all this Zoom malarkey. Yeah. But last night, my quiz team was Ray and I in Surbiton, two friends of mine who live in Marlow, and my mother, who's in Scotland, and my brother, who is in Yorkshire, but staying with her at the time. So that's the plus of the Zoom, isn't it? So thank you. I mean, Ben being there, just great. Thank you very much. Please can pray for Myrtle, who's with us today. Great to see you, Myrtle. As she continues in her recovery, and Ray Taylor, who is not very well and is in Kingston Hospital still, to pray for Ray. I'm in the process of today, by the grace of God, by keeping on going. I'm going to take in a phone that Bron sourced for him. Fantastic. So there will be a phone number that you can phone Ray up directly, hopefully soon. And I will put that in the notices that go around today. Remember, if you haven't done your Christian Aid donation, Ray will of course be on your tail until he's squeezed every last pound out of every single one of us. You know that to be true. And if you haven't, we'll be showing next week the video of us all chucking water over the mare. Hey, it's worth coming to church just for that. But if you haven't given your regular donation to the life of the church and you'd like to support to make that happen, let us know and we will facilitate that, even if it means walking around your house picking up a cheque. I'm now going to dedicate the offering and then we will move to our Holy Communion. So let us pray. Lord, we dedicate the money that we bring this day and the gifts of bread and wine and the money collected for Christian Aid. Our God, we pray for transformation of hearts and minds, for the stones of indifference to become hearts of compassion, for the stones of anxiety to become hearts of hope, the transformation of eyes that see only the surface to see the potential in bread, in wine, in money, and in each one of us. your glory, Lord, we pray. Amen. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friends, and they long remembered his words at the table. Though some disapproved of the company he kept, Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people. He showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us. Whoever we are, whatever we bring, he will feed us at his table. Old and young, rich and poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. For on the day before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples in an upstairs room, and the gospel writers tell us, while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. We are the friends and disciples of Jesus today. He invites us to break bread together, to remember him, and to pray that God's kingdom will come. Let us pray. Creator God, show us how to bake in the kingdom of God. Not the flat bread of cold equality that is reasonable, clinical, and clean, but the yeasted, enriched dough of joyful generosity and overflowing abundance. Loving Jesus, who broke unleavened bread at your Last Supper, and who then, risen from death, shared bread at your disciples' table, so that their eyes would be open. Come to us in our time and open our eyes to imagine you, the kingdom of God. Breath of God, Holy Spirit, revive the dull, leaden dough of our tired world. Enlighten our justice-making with bubbles of confident hope, that we may do our work that may involve kneading and pounding as we wait and long for the rising of a new world in which all are fed and all are full with the riches of life. Take this bread and this wine and transform them from the ordinary things of the earth to heavenly food and to a foretaste of the splendid eternal banquet. That this bread would be for us as the body of Christ and this wine, the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, we would know that we are united with those who've gone before us in the faith, and our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. Blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you, our God. For now, forever. Amen. Took bread, broke it and said, this is my body, it is broken for you. And the cup saying, this is my blood, it is shed for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Dearest God, amidst all the turmoil of life, this is our prayer, that you will hide us under your saving wings and cover us with your mighty hand. Find rest, O my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. Amen. So just before we join to sing our final hymn, let me remind you, after the worship, breakout rooms, if you can bear to chat to people, it'd be great. You'd be most welcome. I know you're all skipping off to do something more interesting. Feels like there's a party going on and nobody's invited me. But please, if you can, please stay. It'd be great to talk. Let me remind you the decision of the church meeting, which is that from the beginning of June, this service will be at 10 o'clock. And there will be a service in the building at 11:30. Okay? So we join together to sing, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. To say and sign the grace, please join in. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love, the heart's love, God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and evermore. Amen.